You're listening to Samuel Emerson, pastor at Cloverdale Church.
If you're new here, my name is Sam, and I'm really excited. For those of you that don't know me, I am married very happily and excitedly, and my beautiful wife is going to be coming and joining us after in the interview process, and we have five children together, so what's up? And I'm still under 30 at this point in my life. Not for very much longer, but anyways, so time is going by quickly. But I wanted to begin with there's something incredibly powerful about a story and about stories influencing our life. And part of what we're doing in this relationship series is inviting you into stories that aren't your own, stories that are maybe different from you or very similar to you, but stories actually are what shapes a lot of what we believe and a lot of what we know. Sociologists are coming out with a lot of that kind of stuff, saying that stories affect how we think, how we even want to think, what we can expect. And so the constant influx of media and movies and music and tabloids and magazines and just everything is constantly inviting us into a story with a certain script. And it's one that represents the way they want relationships to be pictured. And story, though, is how the Bible works as well. See, God knew that long before we ever discovered that story was important. So the Bible lays out many stories of both good relationships and very broken, painful relationships, and invites us to see in the lives of real people how God's kingdom, how his love makes way in the midst of all of the pain, all of the stuff, all of the joy, and causes his name, his fame to be made known in individual lives. And it is beautiful stories. There are amazing stories. And growing up, I always heard this one story, especially at conferences that would be talking about waiting for marriage and all of those kind of things. There was this guy, his name was Joseph, and he rocked a coat of many colors. So you think you rock a good-looking coat? This coat was like super baller. The coat itself probably averaged in the $100,000 range in that day. It was a baller coat. You're like, what, do you just... Really? Yeah, something like that. And I'm just making up a number, truthfully, but it's somewhere around there. But just to get your attention, and I'll make sure I tell you when I'm making something up, because the rest of it will be truthful. But Joseph actually, he was the favored son of his father, who had 12 sons. And Joseph experienced a lot of favor and a lot of life, and all his brothers got really jealous at him. So this story I'd heard many times. It's found in Genesis. You can check it out yourself. But this story I heard many, many times in my life. So the brothers got together one day and they're like, you know what? Your life would be better without Joseph and his flashy coat. We want that coat anyways. So let's just get rid of him. So one brother's like, let's kill him. And the other brother's like, dude, that's ridiculous. We can't kill him. Another one's like, let's throw him in a pit. They're like, oh, there's a good idea. And so they kind of like kicked him in a pit. They're like, now what do we do? I don't know. And so you just imagine these guys. It doesn't sound like in the story their intellect is really that high. They're kind of just playing it by ear going, well, we did something. We put him in there. But then they're like, if we let him out, he's going to tell dad and we're all going to be in huge trouble. And so you ever done that kind of thing when you did something you thought was a really good idea at one time because you were frustrated, and then you do it and you're like, oh, no. And then you got to fix it and do worse things. So all of a sudden there was these trader guys. They were rocking little camels. And so they came strolling by on the main road. And these brothers, they're sitting around. They're going, what do we do with Joseph that's in the pit right now? And they see these guys. They're like, oh, let's sell Joseph to them. And they're like, that's a great idea. And so they pull him out of the pit. So instead of killing him, they sell him to this group of traders that takes Joseph to takes him to another country. And Joseph actually is now, he was the son, he was like almost like a prince. And now he is a slave in one moment. And it's not like the slave guys were like, we bought you. We don't care who you think you are, even with your flashy coat. And so they sold him. And this guy named Joseph, he began to have to serve as a slave. And because he was just faithful in the midst of all this pain, and it's a whole different story, He was put into high powers in his slave master's mini little kingdom. And so I'm just kind of paraphrasing the story for you. But one story in Joseph's story always stuck out is basically the master of the house, the one that owned Joseph, he had a really hot wife and a wife that had the hots for Joseph. So so this guy would have done a lot of trading and going and traveling away. So he'd be away from the house. And so this wife actually would be just kind of watching Joseph as he's walking around. And so I guess she kind of had the hots for him. So much so that she begged him, the Bible says, to have sex with her. And so like as even like this stuff's in the Bible, just so you know. And this is the kind of stuff that I'd be reading. I'd be like, oh, is it allowed to see? It is. It does. Okay. And then you wouldn't really, like, my mom would be like, hey, what you reading the Bible today? You know, just feeling really awkward, but it's in the Bible because it's in there's a story involved. And all of a sudden, one day, Joseph doesn't have his flashy coat on, but he has another coat on. This girl, this older lady, she decides that it's game time now. Now is the time to make her move. There's nobody in the house, the Bible says. And Joseph comes in just to do his managerial type stuff. And she grabs him and tries to, like, take him, literally. Like it's go time. And Joseph runs away and leaves his coat behind, so as if he just takes off. So instead of participating in what would have been momentarily fun and what would have ended up causing him to have a better time than he ended up having, if you will, in that moment, he knew something bigger, something was more important, and he ran from that situation. And he didn't run because this lady wasn't hot. He ran because of his commitment and covenant to God and the trust that he had in his God that in this moment, this was not what he was going to do. And he actually got accused as raping her, and she made up this story to save face and to actually just get rid of Joseph out of her life and all this awkward situation. And the story just gets more awkward and then it gets epic later. But I'll let you read that for yourself. So stories like this, just track with me for a minute. Stories like this were very, very important in the shaping of who I was. See, the Bible talks about when sexual temptation comes in, the Bible doesn't say, check it out, see how you can deal with it, evaluate the circumstances. The Bible says when it comes to sexual temptation, to run. Just get out of there really quick. And so I always had that picture of some buff dude just like walking in, some girl takes his coat and he's just like, just takes off running. And so running was a part of what you did. In order to preserve or save your soul. So growing up, I hit puberty late in life. And not that you ever really want to know that, but it makes sense in the story. And so I think I was 15 when I finally started to fill out. And then I hit the gym that summer when I was 15. And so I went from where girls probably weren't really attracted to me very much to a whole different category of my life. Anyways, just a different world. Paying attention to crafting your body in the gym, if you will, was a very exciting thing. And then so summer hits, and of course, if you're crafting your body, you're kind of like, well, then shirts are off. So I used to play basketball a lot outside of my house and play basketball with my shirt off all the time. So just track with me for a minute. Don't get visual image. Be like, oh my goodness. Just think of yourself. It's all good. But it's important to what I'm about to tell you. And so all of a sudden, like the dream of all young little men dreams. Okay. In my neighborhood, a family of only girls moved in across the street. I was like, yes! And they were all gorgeous. And I was like, as they're like moving in, I'm playing basketball outside. I'm like, yes! I was like, this is a good day. Thank you, Jesus. I was like, because that's what you want. So I would literally just spend time like working up the courage outside, just shooting basketball and then looking over and being like, are they ever going to come out? Like, and then one day they did. And I was like, and I was like, you just get to know them, all of these kind of things. And it was really exciting. So actually I totally struck out with the youngest one and then the middle one. But then their older sister came to visit and she thought I was the hottest thing since sliced bread. And this is the way the story goes. So she was a few years older than me, and it was summertime, and so she would even tell her sister, she's like, "You're crazy. How come you're not dating Sam?" And I'm like, "Yeah, how come? What's going on here?" And so she actually started like hanging out with me, and so she was cool. She had a car, I didn't, and she let me drive a car illegally, and all of these little boyish little fantasies. And so I was like caught up in this little world, and so all of a sudden, one day we were hanging out at the house, and there was other people there. And one day she kind of got me into she said, "Hey Sam, can you come here for a second?" And so I went around the corner, and it turned out that was her bedroom. And anyway, so she kind of like, she's like, let's go. And everything inside of me was like, yes. But now, just to be really honest, I was like, this is awesome. She's gorgeous. She's older than me. I was like, this is so fun. And then all of a sudden I realized what she was really asking. See, I was still very virgin at that time. And I realized she wanted to have sex, not just like kind of like touch or like kiss or anything like that. It was like this world of like, oh, this is serious. And so she started to make advances on me, and I was like, I'm out. I ran, and there was other people in the house. I started running out the door, like left the door open, ran to my house, went into my room, and I was like, "Jesus, forgive me." I'm like, "I can't believe this even happened." I'm like, "I don't even know what's happening. I'm sorry." And then my mom was like, "What happened today?" I was like, "I can't even tell you. I don't know what's happening." And it's like everything that you thought would be what you wanted in that moment. I was like, run. And truthfully, that wasn't the only time in my life I had to run. But here's the important thing. Here's why this is important, is that a story in the Bible helped shape my life, okay? A story in the Bible helped shape my life and gave me an option in the midst of what probably wouldn't be an option for a lot of people. It's right? When you're in that kind of situation, you see movies and you're like, oh, I know what to do here. Start taking clothes off, or we start going closer, or you know what I mean? And you start imagining the stories that you have heard. You'll start replaying in those moments. You'll start actually replaying conversations you've had with your friends. You'll actually start playing. Oh, this is what you do now. Most people are way better kissers than they even know, because they've heard how not to kiss or how to kiss. And it's already played in your subconscious. Because truthfully, if you didn't know how to kiss, you'd probably go. And it's just like, you know, if that's your first kiss, I mean, it's awesome. But I'm just giving you this idea here. Okay, do you hear what I'm saying? I want to be real honest with you. Okay, I never kiss my wife like that, just so you know. And if you do and you get married and that's your style, that's great. I mean, some people like Eskimo kisses, you know, with just the noses. They're like, I just want to be really honest with you. So why this is important, okay? And why this relates to your life is this frames why we're doing even this series. Because we want to, instead of just holding on to all of the things that I did in my life or all the things other people did in their life and just go figure it out yourself, we want to invite you into another story, a different story than many of you have heard. And it's a story that a lot of you probably go, I don't really know if it's true. Or it might be true for someone else, but definitely not for me. And there's all these disqualifiers. Yet we all have a desire to be loved. We all have a desire to be in good, lasting relationship. None of us set out into this world going, I want to have broken heart after broken heart, failure after failure. Yes. Bruise after bruise. Nobody sets out going, they're like, yeah, that's exactly what I want. But we all go there when we listen to the wrong stories. See, actually, that girl was my first kiss. She stole my first kiss. And if I could be really honest with you, I regret that every day of my life. Was it epic in the moment? Yeah. But is it my wife? No. Absolutely not. And so is it relevant to my story? Absolutely not. Do you think my kids want to hear about another girl that I kissed? Oh, Dad, tell us that story again. Who wasn't mom? Like, Do you really think? Like joking about, like, hey, so I was 15 when I kissed somebody first. This is the world that we live in. And see, I had already heard the culture, okay, hear this. I had heard the culture that kissing wasn't wrong. The story, kissing wasn't wrong. My sister actually heard that kissing could be saved for marriage. And she and her husband got married last January. And they kissed for the very first time in the front of the church on their wedding day. Boom. Yeah. Do you see? And you know why that's important? Because that's a story that's available to all of us now. You know what? That wasn't a story that I heard. Everybody around me had already gone way further than I had already gone. And so I was thinking in that moment, well, it can't be that bad too, because it feels so right. And as if your feelings in those moments would be like, that's a great idea right now. Your heart pounds faster. You're like, so exciting. But here's the thing. But I did have a lot of stories of you must save sex for marriage. And so when that all of a sudden kicked into gear and I was like, oh, this is serious. Like, you're not, like, I don't know how I missed this. Like, guys are really dumb. Like, I, you know, we don't pick up a lot of stuff. The Bible in Proverbs compares young men to like a dumb ox, actually, just on their way to the slaughter. It's just, there's a lot of awesome language for you reserved in the Bible. But I was like that, you know? And so, do you hear what I'm saying? Is part of this, just so you know, is intentionally not polished. Part of this isn't creating this whole little world for you to go, wow, or I really want this. It's to be very real and bring you in and out of story and in and out of there's more to this than what you even know. Because when you're in those moments, all of those stories shape us. The sociologist, brand new, wrote a book this last year in 2012. So all the stats on premarital sex in North America are brand new. So I've got a whole bunch of stuff and could just wow you with, here's what's happening and all of this kind of stuff. It's a great resource that I was able to find. But the reality is they pitched this idea that because we love stories so much, that we actually are just looking to all of our friends and the movies and the media, and we're really just waiting for somebody to tell us what we really want or what is really okay. You might not consciously do that, but that's what you're waiting for. You're looking for approval. And so they say the way that you engage, and these guys aren't Christian, but the way that you help people make right decisions about sex and about marriage and about long-lasting life, that you'll be able to do it well, if you will, is actually just to isolate the amount of stories you hear. And so that you can't only hear the media's version of story. Because sex sells. And so the reason why the media always wants to throw sex in or have something going on behind the sheets or they want that to be in your head because that's where they want you to go because that's the market that you will constantly buy into. They would lose everything if people were just satisfied with the lives that they had. They would lose all their business. And there is countless amount of money that goes into this. And further, pornography has actually reshaped our culture completely. That's the sociologists will say that actually whether you look at porn or not, you're affected by porn. That all the standards have changed. All of the emphasis now is on body figure or easy access. And girls are having to be easier, if you will, to get with a guy. Because guys are like, well, I'll just go to my computer. I'll go to my TV. I have it on PVR right now. I have a blow-up doll. I'm just saying. That's really awkward. People are like, don't talk about that. There's a line, you know? Just crossed it, you know? And there's a lot of those kind of words. And you know what's funny about that? Is though, even those words, the fact that there's kind of like a in your heart, that just shows that there's something more going on to all of this. And just know that whatever you experience with one person becomes your standard. And you'll never start from that place again. You'll always go further. Apart from the redeemed life of Jesus Christ. You'll always go further. So I want to give you just a couple things before we invite our guest in, just to frame this, because I'm very nervous about giving you too much information that it just becomes no information at all. Just a big mush. Here you go. Everything's a big problem, you know. But I want to read something from the Bible for you, and then I just want to give you two thoughts, and then we're going to invite our guest and move forward from there. So if you want to have a God-shaped story, and if you hear what we talk about is truth, and that Scripture is truth, then you got to fill your minds with the stories of God and the stories that of those that are following God. And that's why we intentionally have a lot of young marrieds here that have a different story than what you'll hear in the media, and what you'll hear from your public high school friends, or what you'll hear from your philosophy teacher that's been divorced twice. We have a whole different set of story. And all it is to tell you that it's not the way it seems. That what you may think is normal actually isn't so normal. And there's a whole different world that you can find in the life of Christ. So let's get really fun here and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I just want to pray just before we read. Jesus, this is all about you. And it's your love, and it's your grace, and it's your mercy that we need. And so we just thank you for all that you are. And we just ask that this would just be a night that would just glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? And all you guys want to say amen?
Amen.
There we go. Here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. So this might be a good word for a lot of people in here. As you've already started, now walk in a way that pleases God more and more. If you haven't started, time to start. For this is the will of God for your sanctification, being made more into the image that God has for you, into the life that He has for you, a life that He promises to be the abundant or full life. That you abstain from sexual immorality. So that's the will of God, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That's a big idea for all the things that fit in with sexual immorality. Anything outside of marriage, basically, that would be called sexual immorality. That each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. Not in passionate lust like the Gentiles, who's called like the world, who doesn't know God. That no one transgresses and wrongs his brother in this matter. And the word there is brother or sister. That you don't wrong your brother or your sister in this manner. Because the Lord is the avenger in all of these things, as we told you beforehand, solemnly warned you. God has not called us for impurity, but for holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. And so this is it. That the Bible says that it's the word here says that it's your job to learn to control your own body. And do you know what the Bible's word for your own body is? Your own sexual organ. Isn't that exciting? Like, it's awkward. And like, and a lot of people that translate the Bible, they're just like, yeah, let's just call it body. Let's just make it nice and easy. It's actually sexual organ. So that's actually a part of a godly life, running towards Christ and operating in the will that He has for you, is to learn to control your body and all of your sexual desires. So you're honoring God when you're learning to control it, to manage it, to hold it back from the very things that you want to be a part of. That's a part of this. And so where it all goes wrong is when we think, yeah, you know, the Bible's a little bit old, outdated, not relevant. That's a cultural context. This isn't going to work for me. And we just go, I'm just going to live my own way in my own pattern. And the Bible says that if you live according to your own understanding, it ends up in the way of death. And death doesn't just mean you die one day. Death takes on a whole lot of forms. There's a whole bunch of forms of dying in this life. That a heartbreak, very often, a real heartbreak, very often feels like a form of death where you're just like, I don't know how to move on from here. And the Bible says you are called to holiness. You are called to a life of Christ. Now, here's what the biology of all this works out to be. Girls have this unbelievable, amazing gift from God. And it's a thing that is released through having a baby and nursing. And it's a thing that is released through sex in the girl's body. The word is oxytocin. And actually, what it is a bonding agent. So God, in his infinite wisdom and his creativity, beyond anything any evolutionist could ever imagine, said, you know what? Girls, in the mother instinct, I'm going to create a bonding agent, and it's going to come through breastfeeding. It's going to come through nurturing the baby and holding the baby close. And the way that God created the baby is that the baby's impressions, that's the perfect distance actually for a baby to imprint on the mom and to have a warm, loving relationship. So the reality is that nursing is a way that you create a bonding agent between your baby. Therefore, moms that don't actually nurse with their baby, they very often can struggle at times with being really bonded with their baby. I'm not trying to make anybody feel weird or go, maybe that's what happened to me. But there's this reality that this is the way God created it. But here's the amazing thing. God did that with sex. God did that with sex, that as you have sex, girls are released more of a bonding agent. The word the Bible uses is that you become one. And so it's almost like a super glue of faithfulness and loyalty. But here's what biologists and stuff, they won't really want to tell you very often, because it doesn't sell very good to only have one partner. And we'll just go through this really quickly. This is a box. And the oxytocin in this case is kind of like sticky tape, okay? And if you take a sticky tape and you tape it on, it seals it really well. But if you rip the tape off, aka break up and then in a relationship, you rip away from the person that you bonded with sexually. And this doesn't just work with vaginal sex. I'm talking about sex in general. That's oral sex too. There's a release. Do you understand? There's a release in the sexual process. Okay? So when you look at this, if you re-tape it, okay? And then rip it off again, it's less sticky. And the more you re-tape, the more you start up or restart relationships and in a sexual way, and yes, primarily through actual intercourse. The more you do that, the less you actually are able to bond with the person that you're with. So much so that I know people actually, because they had so many sexual partners in their life, that they actually can't be super close with their spouse and actually eventually divorced because of all the reality. God has called us to fidelity and faithfulness. One person for a lifetime. God created guys totally different. Do you know guys don't have a bonding agent? So guys can have casual sex. Actually, that's a sociological truth. But here's the problem with that, though. Is guys are created in a way that's slightly different. Guys imprint on the feeling and the emotion that they are a part of. And here's what you need to know about that. There's two things that are released when you have an orgasm for a guy. Okay, and we're talking really big boy talk here in for a moment. But there's something of endorphins and epinephrine, okay? And one is an excitement, and the other one is a feeling of pleasure and joy. Just trying to make this really simple. And when you actually are in the sexual process, you actually begin to imprint on the situation or the process. So much so that if you are a pornography addict, you imprint on that situation. And if you do it enough, you can't actually have real sex. It actually inhibits it. So the big lie of pornography is that it comes out with a, hey, this is going to be really good. It's going to increase your ability to have sex. It's going to make you last longer in bed. It's going to just give you a better, greater desire for more sex. It actually inhibits your ability to do it and creates a lot of frustration in guys. And if you have sexual partners, where you have sexual partners, if it's in a way that you're taking the girl from their house and you're doing it in secret in the backseat of your car or in the secret of their bedroom or in if it's involved in secret, then your whole life will be based on fantasy. And you'll always need that element of risk of getting caught in your sexual relationship, because that's the imprint that guys will have on their relationship. How did God design marriage? He designed marriage to first take place in the context of friends and family and people that you care about that are watching and witnessing you make a covenant for with one woman for one lifetime. And actually the celebration and the joy and the right on, buddy, you're a winner. All of this kind of stuff is the context that young men need to have in order to have a lasting relationship in marriage. Because otherwise you're imprinting on all the wrong situations. And so what does this leave us with? A whole lot of brokenness. And a whole lot of, I wish somebody told me that sooner. Because there is, and I have so much to say about this. And for the sake of time, we won't even come close to touching it. But you need to hear this very carefully and very truthfully. The casual nature and the let's just hook up or one night stand or I only live once, YOLO. Like, I can't believe I just did that. I did. That whole world is probably the biggest lie you could ever bite into. Because, yeah, you only live once, but then you're going to answer to God for how you lived. Ah, YOLO didn't tell me that. Can you imagine standing before Jesus going, YOLO? Jesus would be like, no. just doesn't work that way. And you know what? YOLO is getting, a lot of girls are getting sick and tired of hearing about YOLO. I went through, I was walking the campus of UBC, and out of God's sovereignty, a pack of girls was in front of me, and what were they talking about? YOLO is the stupidest thing in the world. That just means you can do whatever you want when you want. It's just so dumb. These guys are idiots. I hate them. I was like, this is a great conversation. So I like put my earphones in, pretending to listen to something, and be like, I'm listening to you. And then riding the bus home from UBC, I was like, hey, I was like just sitting there all by myself. And this girl walks in the bus on the phone, classic girl, and decides to sit down beside me and talk even louder. So I like turned my earphones down. I'm like, this is a really interesting conversation. And she's talking about her quote unquote standards that she has in relationship. And well, you know, I just broke up with somebody. And so I was sleeping with him. So I got to wait at least a month and a half before I start sleeping with somebody else. And then I was like, where's that standard coming from? But it's coming from a story. And who's she on the phone with? Her friend. And her friend's a girl, because I could hear her through the phone with my earphones in. And I was like, so they're like, nah, 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 at a nice loud pace. And I have four daughters, so I'm looking forward to this life. But anyways, there was a lot of conversation going on. And the reality was, is this whole bunch of weird little standards and little ideas that really amount to nothing. And if you actually press them enough, they go, you know what? I'm just pretty frustrated with everything right now. And I don't know what to do with my life. One of the greatest stories that a lot of young people buy into is that sex is the next step in your relationship. And unless you have sex, you actually will lose the relationship. And you know what the sociologists will say? That even though people won't listen to this, that actually when you introduce sex to your relationship, before marriage, and these are non-Christian guys talking. If you introduce sex to your relationship before marriage, you increase the possibility of breaking off that relationship. The very thing that you thought would actually bring you closer together will be your demise. And then they say, and I thought it was very funny, they say a lot of young people won't actually listen to this, and so therefore they become a statistic. I was like, ha! that's funny to me. Anyways, maybe you're like, it's not funny. But I just want to give you this as truth. See, God wired us a certain way. And he wired men to be faithful and to imprint in a relationship with one woman in a unique, exclusive, including with your eyes, relationship. And he created a relationship with girls that they will bond more with their husband and become more one with their husband throughout the course of their life. And isn't that beautiful? Like, who doesn't want that? And I would encourage you that wherever you stand tonight and whatever you feel will disqualify you from actually believing Jesus in this, that you would actually hear the words of the songs we're singing tonight and understand that God knows everything that you've done and isn't surprised by it and is actually moving towards you through this situation, this venue, in love. He loves you passionately. So only stand up with me for a minute. We're gonna invite our guests in just one moment. And I just wanted to take a minute. Some of the stuff I said was harsh and awkward. Some of the stuff I said was super funny. And some of the stuff was funny for all the wrong reasons. But just for a moment, I want to invite you just to experience God's love right where you are. That you would not feel disqualified, but rather you would feel invited to enter into a relationship with Jesus and understand your call in this life, a part of your call, everybody's call here. If you're looking for what does God want me to do with my life, learn to control your sexual organs. And that's a really weird, you'll never forget it. You'll be walking down the street and be like, And it's a great word that you'll always remember. So let's just receive what God has for us tonight. Jesus, thank you for everybody in this room. Thank you for the love that you have for them. And I thank you that you have desires for their life, not for their pain. That you have desires for hope to be restored. And so I pray for everybody that's gone from this place that they have experienced too much. They've experienced far too many sexual encounters. They've experienced things that they feel guilty of or even not guilty of, but just frustrated in. I pray that you would invite people into relationship with you. And I pray for the young ladies in this room in particular, that they would hear your call to save themselves for marriage. That they would hear that it is okay. And they don't have to give up the precious gift that they've been given. No matter who tells them that they do. And I pray for the young men in this room, even beyond emotion, that you would install backbone. That you would install a heart of fixed focus. That they would, for the sake of their lives, the sake of their future, and the sake of your kingdom and your love, not fool around in casual sexual experiences, but look to marriage. Look to all that you have for them and all that you've promised. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
For more information, visit clovedalechurch.ca.